mouths. We do that with our lives. We do that, Father, with our deeds. We confess you with our mouth, with a heart close to you. And I ask, Father, that as we declare your lordship, Lord, in our lives, as we bow to that lordship, that we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that it is a wonderful lordship. It is a powerful lordship. It's, Father, because, Lord, we know that we're going to bow to something. And if we're here today bowing to something other than Jesus, I pray that you'd have mercy on our soul today. You'd have mercy on our family today. Because, Father, we want to bow to you today. You are Lord, and there's no other name by which men can be saved. Men can be delivered. Men can be delivered. Women can be delivered from the power of sin. And we worship you, our great God. And Lord, as we open the word today, we pray that the word would not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire. That, Father, as we open the pages of scripture, that would come forth off the page, leap into our heart. We would confess it. We would live it. We'd respond to it, Lord. That we'd not just be hearers of the word, but effectual doers by the power of the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you that your light, your word is bread, is the bread of life. You are the bread of life, but your word, Father, you say that we're not to live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Forgive us, Lord, for living on other people's bread and not yours, Lord. Forgive us for following the world's word, the culture's word, Lord. We want to be men and women, sons and daughters of your word. So, Father, I pray that as we open scripture, that you would come and you would speak to us and show us great and mighty things. And in those great and mighty things, we might live a great and mighty life according to the power of the Spirit, according to your grace and your mercy, according, Father, to the Godhead, Father, today. Our Father, the Son, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, come. Visit us, we pray, in this word, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So I'm sitting worshiping and I'm debating of whether or not I'm going to tell you this story that just happened last week to me. And whenever I have a debate with myself, somebody usually wins. One of us wins. And so I was just been meditating on this passage of Scripture, especially at the end of this section where Paul tells Timothy, this young pastor, to guard what God has entrusted to him, to guard the treasure through the Holy Spirit that God has given to him. And I was thinking about just not only the treasure in our hearts that we're going to talk about today, but the treasures that God has given to us in this life. I believe with all my heart that a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him by God. Do you believe that today? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar once said, oh, I thank God, I'm so grateful for all this wealth that I created. And you don't want to end up like Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm telling you, this guy grew fingernails and grew hair and went into the fields and ate grass and stuff with the beast of the field until he came to his senses. And I think about this whole thought that everything that God's given belongs to God. And the question is am I going to guard what God has entrusted to me? And you know, one of the things that we do here at Cottonwood amongst our elder ministry is we anoint folks with oil for healing. The passage is found in James chapter 5 that says, if anyone is sick, he must call for the elders of the church to pray, to anoint him with oil, to pray over him so that he may be raised up. And if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. So confess your sins to one another so you might be healed. And I just got to be honest with you, just as pastor, because we've been practicing this for 23 years. It's one of the main reasons why we asked the congregation to move to an elder role, to elder roles. We've had personal family experience with anointing. And we've had great experiences with the Lord because I believe when it says you must, you must. Amen? And we don't teach that.
We don't practice that in so many places. I mean, because it's a wonderful prescription in Scripture, not a description that's awesome and wonderful, but it's a prescript. And I just want to tell you, over the last several years, especially during this time of the year, I really struggle hard with asthma. And this asthma has not been as bad, but it's been pretty rough this last month. And I was getting ready one morning, and it was like a tap on the shoulder. You've been secretly complaining about this, yet you yourself have not called for the elders of the church to anoint you with oil and pray for healing. And I got ready, and I text the guys, said, "I'm going to come. I'm coming. It's last Sunday morning. This anointing happened for me." And this is what I sense, gang. I believe with all my heart I'll never use a puffer again soon. Okay. But the question is, will I guard the health that God's given to me? Will I guard what's been entrusted to me? And so as I think about that we'll be talking about further down in this series, I think about, but what are the treasures in my heart? What are the treasures that God has given me that I'm not guarding? And Paul tells this to Timothy. He says, listen, he tells it to him twice. He tells them first in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, "O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you." And then in this passage where he says to Timothy, this young Greek pastor, this Gentile pastor, that he has an assignment in Ephesus to bring order to the church there in Ephesus. He says in verse 3, "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. I'm longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy, because I'm mindful for the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure, I am positive, I'm convinced that it is in you as well." Now, Eunice was a good, good mother. Is that right? You're a good, good mother. A good, good grandmother. And this powerful thought, it says, and then for this reason, I'm reminding you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God's not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but is now being revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death, brought life and immortality to light, in which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. For this reason, I'm suffering these things, but I'm not ashamed. I know whom I believed. I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day, and retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And watch, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Timothy, all that you have, all that God's done, all that God's given are the treasures from heaven that I'm asking you by the Holy Spirit that lives in all of us to guard these treasures, to guard the treasure which God has entrusted to you. Now, there's a few things that I want to just say about these words. The word to guard means to watch over, to have an eye upon, to keep safe, to protect against damage or harm. To take care, to preserve, to obey. Now, these are the things that the word guard means. I don't think I have to tell you what it means to guard something. We see guards. We see correctional officers in prison. We see guards and security guards all over the place. And there is an assignment in that case, that they're guarding something valuable. And that's what he's saying. Listen, you guard the treasure, that which is valuable from the kingdom of God. You guard it. And then the word entrust literally means a deposit. It's something that's consigned to your faithful keeping. And it's like God says, here you go. This is what I'm giving you. This is what I'm entrusting to you. Now guard it. I can think about a lot of things about that, right? I can think about our marriages, which we'll be talking about in a few weeks. Our spouses. Husbands, guard your marriage. Guard the treasure of your wife, which has been entrusted to you. Wives, guard what's been entrusted, this marriage, this husband of yours. Guard it. Guard your heart, the scripture says, for out of it flow the issues of life. To guard the finances and the resources that God has given to us. And yeah, we'll be doing a couple of thoughts on giving and resources and what God's provided. Do I see it, though? Do I really see that what God has given and what I experience in this life as treasures from God? Oftentimes, I would say, given on a silver platter to us, to only walk away at some point and vomit on it because of our own selfishness and our own ways. The precious things that God has entrusted to us, we are to guard. We are to protect. We are to watch over. We are to take diligence in being faithful stewards of what God has given to you and to me. Treasures, Scripture says. Treasures. And you know, I think about that immediate context, but I of marriage or of finances or of fatherhood and motherhood or the things that are in our lives to be stewards of the things that God has given to us. And the question, will we remain faithful to that? Not fickle. Will we be faithful with this constant, not, and hear what I'm saying when I say performance. I mean, it's just the carrying out of the responsibilities that God has given us as men and women, as sons and daughters, and teaching our children the same. Because he's entrusted a bunch. Is that right? He has entrusted you to you all that you have. And he says, guard it. Guard it by the Holy Spirit that's been given to you. Now, when you look at 2 Timothy, I want to just say a couple of things about the treasure. We're going to talk about the treasures of Christ that comes to us when we believe. The things that God does, the things that God gives, the things that God actually expects and anticipates that you not only guard it, but use it for the glory of God. And so when you look at this passage, I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, he says, verse 5, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you. Folks, we're to guard our faith. We're to understand it. We are to have what we would call good, solid doctrine of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he has promised to do in our lives. It is a sincere faith. It is genuine. That's what that means. It's genuine. It's real. It's faithful. And it's faithful like steel, something firm. This is what this word is. Your sincere faith, your genuine faith. And by the way, this faith came to you because you had a grandmother and a mother who followed God and somehow came to Jesus. And now this faith is in you. Came by your mom. It came by your grandmother. They read the word to you. They taught you scripture. They taught you principles. And then they taught you by action what it means to believe the promises of God. I cannot tell you how important, and you know this, that your children not are just taught, but they catch it. They're caught. They catch your life. They catch your lifestyle. They catch your freedom. They catch your doctrine. They confess your love for Jesus, or they catch it. They catch that love. They catch how you glorify God, how you honor God. Why? Because they see it, and they see it day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. And this is what he has. He has this heritage. And I think about that. I think I've thought about this for years. When Jeremy was first, we knew we were pregnant with Jeremy. We didn't know it was Jeremy, but we knew we were pregnant. And I'll tell you, your children, your grandchildren, they are treasures from God. And the question is how am I guarding the treasures of heaven that God has given to me? That God has given to you. This is a sincere faith. His grandmother had it. His mother had it. And apparently, what we know from history, he meets Paul. He's got a Jewish mom and grandmother. He's got a Gentile daddy, and he's being raised as a Gentile, even though he's hearing his mother and his father, his mother and his grandmother. And he comes to Christ in a place called Lystra, and Paul comes back through and picks him up and starts discipling him. Some think that he's just in his teens when that happens, because several years later, he's still a young man, but pastoring a church or churches in Ephesus. And he's saying, listen, I'm thinking about this sincere faith within you. And you know, I think about that. How do people see faith in Christ in us? They just don't see it by our confession. They see it in our lives. They see it how we act as husbands and wives. They see us how we act as our children act. They see it as we live life through church and church life together. They see it. They see it in the way you work and the way you work hard and the way you give and the way that you talk and the way that you speak. That's how people see this sincere faith. And it's a treasure. It's a faith, a salvation by faith. But I want you to notice also what he says about the next thing. This thing that we're to guard. He says, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The laying hands on you and receiving the gift. Some of this we see in Acts as the Holy Spirit. Folks have gotten the Holy Spirit, received the Holy Spirit in faith by the laying on of hands. Others can say, can attest, and I can attest to this. I can attest that where God had shaped my life, and a few folks laid hands on me one day in a hotel room, and I knew that God had done something significant in my life. And something happened. You've heard my story, if you're not new to us, where God delivered me, and I walked away from that deliverance from a fear that I'd had since I was 10 years old, and God replaced that fear with what I believe a gift of faith, to believe that any man that comes or any woman that comes into this counseling room over here can absolutely, totally, not can be, but will be free. Happened to me, 27 years old. And he said, hey, this laying on of hands also could be the presbytery of when they laid hands upon him and appointed him and came to this place to say, okay, we're setting you apart and you've got this gift and now you need to fan the flame, because sometimes that gift kind of goes to sparks. It just goes to embers, and we got to fan the flame. We've got to just put wind to it. We've got to put air to it, oxygen to it. And he's saying, that's what he's saying. I'm reminding you, kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And I ask the question because it's really important. I have a sincere faith that I'm being walked out, that's being walked out by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a spirit not of timidity, he says. It's not of timidity. It's of power, he says. Notice, it's not a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. At some point, Paul tells Timothy, hey, you need to take a little wine for your stomach ailments. What does that mean? Well, he's a young guy, and he's pastoring a new church. I mean, it's pretty new. I mean, it's first century church. And people are being discipled to learn how to live. I mean, they've never heard of Jesus before. They've never heard of the Holy Spirit. They've never heard of these things. And as you know, new church starts and even old church starts can bring stress to leaders. And what I'm suggesting to you is that there's some stress going on. That's why he said, don't let anybody look down on your youthfulness. Oh, and by the way, for your little stomach ailments, take a little wine. Help your stomach ailments. I guess he wasn't a Baptist. You've got some stomach stuff going on. Take a little wine for it. Treat it. Why? Well, maybe he was just a young guy, young pastor, struggling and had stresses and anxieties and worries. Maybe there was trouble. Maybe there were people just after him. I don't know. I mean, I've seen it enough. I've not seen it here, but I've seen it enough. People's lives, pastors' lives. He says, listen, this spirit, this thing that God's entrusted to you, this treasure, this calling, this power of the Holy Spirit, God has given you not a spirit of timidity. And I'm just going to say this. Timidity means that you lack a boldness. That's what timidity is. It lacks courage. And I want to just say this. If that's where you are, quit acting like you don't have the spirit of power, love, and discipline, because you do. Quit acting like it. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of boldness, faith, through the power of the Spirit, through the power of the gift of God in your life that comes from a sincere faith. Now, Timothy, guard this. Watch over it. I've entrusted this to you. And out of this entrusting, there's now a responsibility to walk the gift out, to walk what I've done out, to walk faith out, to walk in such a way that you are not shrinking back in your faith, but you're moving on in your faith. As a man, maybe a husband, I don't know, as a dad, as a pastor, and for many of us in here, for whatever God's called you to, whatever he's called you to. And I ask the question, are you guarding that? Are you guarding these things in your job? Are you guarding these things in your household? Are you guarding these things in your family? Are you guarding these things in your church life experience? Are you watching over it? Now, I just want to say this. This watching over is not just this fidgeting. And, you know, there's times when things have, maybe one time in my life where I just felt threatened by this guy. Just felt threatened. Just coming off of drugs, said some things to me. And us living here, we're in single wide. It was just single wide in the church building. And I tell you what, my fear stuff was just ramping up. And I was guarding things, but I was guarding it with a nervous wreck kind of thing. And I look out the window, see if this guy's in my driveway. And I walk around and I go, look out that window again. And I look out that window again. I look out that window again. That's not what we're talking about when you guard what's been entrusted to you. There is a faithfulness and a belief that God has equipped you with everything that you need to live that out. To guard your faith, to guard the spirit of the living God and his movements in your life, to guard and to protect and to protect it from the enemy, to protect the spirit of power and love and discipline. Isn't that awesome that I've been given not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power? Power to be his witness, to love well, and then to take care of business in my self-control and my discipline. That's what it is. So it's not just, oh, I'm going to keep watch over it like this and do nothing. No, I'm going to be actively guarding. Actively guarding, right? Actively doing it. And that's where my post is. And that's where I sit and I say, God, I want to guard what's been entrusted to me. But you know, and I think about these things. I think about what he's given to us when we came to Jesus and the Spirit of God came into our lives. And God set us apart from the world to do his work, to do what he's called us to do. And I think of these things, and I'm just going to rip through them really quick. Actually, I've got it all in a really nice piece of what I could say. Just, it's not cardstock, but it's linen stock. Okay, I shared this about 20 years ago, and gave them out on a Wednesday night. And I went to somebody's business, and he had them framed in his business. Of what God's given. I thought, you know what? I'm going to put it on a half page, put it on a nice little parchment paper, and I've got about 150 of them out on there that you can just pick up, and you can pick up a couple of them. And because I'm going to tell you, you got to be reminded. When are you reminded of who we are and what we have in Jesus? So I'm just going to kind of zip through them. They're not, I don't think they're in your notes, but this is what we have in Christ. This is what we're entrusted with. This is the treasures that we have in us from Jesus. We have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We have the Spirit of the living God living in us. He has given us his precious and magnificent promises that we might become partakers of his nature, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He has granted us repentance that leads to life. He has given us anointing that teaches us about all things. He's given us grace, and he's given us faith, and he's given us glory. He's given us mercy and peace. He's given us eternal life. He's entrusted his word to us. The word, the scripture that we have, that we hold, that we love, that we honor. He's given you authority to tread upon all the power of the enemy. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He's given you good gifts from the Father. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. He's given you a spirit of power, love, and discipline. He's given you gifts to minister the life of God to one another with. He's given you a work to accomplish for his glory, power to be his witnesses. He's given you the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you guarding that today? Are you guarding the fellowship with other believers in Christ? He has given you new beginnings. He said, if you're a believer, if any man is new in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and new things are always coming, is what it says. He's given you the new beginning, and that beginning can happen right now. And listen, I'm just going to tell you this. You may come and sometimes may be overwhelmed about all the things that God might teach you or show you, but all I'm saying is just begin where you are right now. Begin where you are. Four words. Begin where you are. And not to bemoan where I've been, but to ask God to do this work in a powerful way. He's given you the bread of life, living water. He's given you, he's reconciled you and given you a ministry of reconciliation. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. He's given you the mind of Christ. He's given you redemption, forgiveness of our trespasses and the riches of his grace. And he's given us an inheritance in the kingdom. And he's given us the righteousness of Jesus. Amen. That's what he's given you. Guard what's been entrusted to you. Guard it, protect it, work it, walk it, believe it, protect it. You know, I think about getting ahead of myself here. But I think about, again, my marriage to my wife. How do I protect that? I protect it right here in my mind. I take thought, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, to remain pure in here, right here, to fulfill the word that God's given to me as a husband, to lay down my life for her and live with her in an understanding way and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. That's how I guard my marriage. It's being attentive to the things around me and not ignoring them. It's that kind of guarding. And when I think about the righteousness of Christ in me, when I think about the gifts of God in my heart, in my life, the question is, am I guarding that today? Am I nurturing it? Am I nourishing it? Am I walking in agreement with it? And I just say this again. I mean, I'm not accusing anybody of not being in the Word because they left their Bible here for months, because Lord knows you probably got 10 of them in your house. But if I believe that the Word of God is the bread of life, if I believe that I'm to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, if I believe that that eternal life is found by believing what God says, don't you think I ought to be absolutely enthralled with the Word of God? To be enthralled with it. To have this growing relationship with Jesus that says, oh, I just can't get enough of this. But we live in a stage, we live in a place that we can't get enough of Instagram or Facebook or some game we're playing or some TikTok thread that we're on. And we scroll and we scroll and we scroll enthralled. And I ask the question, have you ever been enthralled like that with the Word of God? Because I'm saying this through experience, because I know, because I'm just a man. I'm a man. I'm not some hired holy guy. Struggle with my own stuff, things. And how I can neglect the Word. And I'm ashamed to say this sometimes, because, and you pay me to do that. I get paid to do that. Folks, do I believe what the Word of God says it is? That it's pure, it's holy, that it's without error, that it restores the soul, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes, makes you wise in every area of life. And I just think, why aren't we in it? And sometimes we just kind of check it off. Well, I read my Bible through. Well, did you do your Bible through? And not just read your Bible through. This is how we guard what's been entrusted. We trust and we obey. We believe and we obey the Word. This is what God's given to us. And we are to steward it well. I'm out of time here, unless, I don't know. Usually when I say I'm out of time, we go 15 more minutes, so. But I think about the parable of the slaves, you know the one who's, just going, you got it up there, Matthew chapter 25, I'll tell you what the kingdom of God's like. It's like a man who goes on a journey, who calls his own slaves and entrusted his possessions. Stop right there. Go back. Yeah. He entrusted his possessions. He entrusted his treasures to them. Now, I don't know about you, but he's going to pick three out, okay? He's going to pick them and he's going to give them what? His treasures, his possessions. Okay. I mean, can you see what we're talking about? That what God gives you is his. His possessions. So he's entrusted these treasures to him, to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and another 1. Watch, each according to his own ability. And then he went out on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with him and gained 5 more. The same manner the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1... he went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Stop right there, Greg. He hid his master's money. He took what his master gave to him and he put it on a shelf, or he buried it in a treasure box. To be guarded. This is not the guarding we are talking about. We're talking about a stewardship that guards the stuff that God's given so that we might remain pure and holy and blameless in Christ, so that we are stewarding the things that God has given to us and we're not shoving them on the shelf somewhere, hoping that they'll be protected. He hid his master's money. In verse 19, and after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew that you to be a hard man, reaping where you don't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, now you have what is yours. The master answered and said, watch, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. And you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ. This guarding, this treasure has everything to do with increase in our lives. Listen to me, which is a great thing. It's a great thing. Everything that God's given you is like seed. It's like seed. I read something the other day that they found some seed in Israel that was 2,000 years old. And in 2005, they planted the seed and a tree came up that had been extinct for 1,000 years. You know, did you do that? Did you post that? Look, I got that from you. It's like a seed. The power of a seed. Scattering it. But I got to get it out of my bag and I got to give it away. And that's what this is all about. That's how we guard it. We give it away. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to give generously when you don't have anything. But oh, it makes sense to the economy of God. Amen. And this is what we're talking about. Guard what has been entrusted to you. And guard it. Guard it. Now, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. And I promise you we will close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I've got a little bit of that in the notes. Right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've got a new preaching Bible, and it's brand new, and it's kind of hard to remember where everything is. So you know how that means? I think if you've ever experienced that. Chapter 4. Look at verse 6. God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Here it is, folks. Everything that you've been given is to let your light shine, to give it away. That's what we're talking about. That's what it means to guard it. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We have this treasure, look, it was right here in this carton right here, that we were all created from the dust of the earth, from clay. And we have this treasure in this finite body of ours, this temporal body. We have this eternal treasure. And he says, we have this so that the power will be of God and not from ourselves. And that's why, listen, verse 8, when we're afflicted in every way, we're not crushed, perplexed, not despairing, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, not destroyed. Watch, because we're carrying about in the body of the dying Jesus so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Light shining, the treasure of Jesus and all that he is, all the gifts, all the power, all the grace, all the mercy, all the righteousness, all that he has given. We are to guard. And I want to ask, are you guarding what God has entrusted to you? Bow with me in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for this great invitation to the kingdom of God. And God, how you have done such a work, precious work, to give all that we have. And I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we move through this time, that, Lord, that you do a couple of things. You'd encourage our hearts. You'd show us where, hey, you're doing a really good job in this area. But also, Lord, you'd bring conviction where conviction is needed, so that we don't wake up one day and find our faith shipwrecked, or our marriage shipwrecked, or our resources shipwrecked, because we didn't guard what was entrusted to us. And oh God, we've seen that. We've seen that in a lot of our friends. We've seen that in a lot of our people. We see that in our culture. We see it all the time. We see it in churches. We see it everywhere, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that we would be a people that through the Holy Spirit would guard what's been entrusted to us. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, let's stand together. So